Hey, it's Wednesday night. It's time for the Fishing School. And to recap, if you're just tuning in for the first time, our goal is to catch more fish and specifically to get you to catch more fish. So that's what the show is about. This is the Fishing School radio podcast showgram. I'm Johnny Wilkins. I'm your host, and hopefully we'll have a good time on the podcast, and we'll learn a few things about fishing. My specialty is live bait, and there's a reason for that. I like to catch fish. So a lot of other shows spend a lot of time on things that they might look pretty in the package. They might have a big decal on a large, gigantic boat. They might store nicely in a tackle box. They might come in 28 fruit flavors and 35 different color patterns and variations, as well as another 3 to 5 size variations. But that is all covered across the globe in all other fishing magazines, all TV shows, all tournaments. You get the picture. When you go into the bait store, you see walls and walls and miles of plastic. This showgram is about the live bait, but more specifically, all we care about is catching fish, catching lots of fish, catching big fish. And I do it real close to home. I don't like to drive too much. Now, we'll get this showgram started, and I'll recap my trip to the North Woods. I'll be talking about some fishing in northern Wisconsin. We'll talk water temperatures. It's hot out there. The feedback that I'm getting from anglers, and by the way, you can reach the showgram. Follow me on Twitter. Here's some ways that you can get in touch with the showgram.
Follow the showgram on Twitter. Search for Fishing School, or you can find previous episodes at chicagofishingschool.com.
In fact, a promo is a bit off. Look for Chicago Fishing. It's Twitter, at Chicago Fishing. So look for that. And you can find us at chicagofishingschool.com. That's the home base of operations. And this, you've obviously reached the podcast, so welcome and thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening. This is your show. During the summer, I try and keep it regular, but obviously I'm busy trying to learn to catch fish. You know, and hopefully you're doing the same. We all work together, and this is the way that you can call in live during the summer on Wednesday nights, during the winter on Saturday nights. This is definitely summer, so you can call in live all year round at 347-994-3267. That's 347-994-3267. I like to get some guests on the showgram, even though it's podcast delayed listen for most of our listeners. I like to speak about different topics that you might have. We'll talk about a lake that by you. We'll talk about fish species that you're going after. And this is mostly freshwater fishing. You can apply some of these tactics to the saltwater, but mostly we're talking freshwater ponds, lakes, streams. So that would be the topic of the day. And if you want to talk lures, I'll be glad to talk about lures. I did a lot of lure fishing back when I first started. I've migrated mostly towards the use of different live baits to do most of my heavy lifting and most of my catching. So on that topic, and I'll have to put it on Twitter. Again, that's Chicago Fishing. Go to Twitter. And if you're not into Twitter or technology, think of Twitter as kind of a research, a way that you can see lots of different ideas, lots of links, and it's a good way to kind of find some research. I follow some people on Twitter through my account that you'll be able to see there, and mostly, you know, fishing and sports resources. And I try to put things together, put two and two together. I also am into angling history and the history of angling in the U.S. as it pertains to anglers. So last week on the podcast, if you haven't listened to that, I talked about catching your own bait. And that is because in the old days, anglers used to first, one, get bait, two, go fishing. Nowadays, we drive through somewhere, We even order bait in, which is pretty cool, and can have fresh bait shipped to you. One of the Showgram sponsors that you've heard me talk about, if you haven't checked them out, it's VadosBait.com. They have some amazing selection of live baits that are available to you, and that is my specialty. So that's a little bit about me and the Showgram. So I hope to be talking about some things that you'll be excited about. Like I said, you'll have a good time, learn a few things about fishing. Later in the Showgram, I'm going to go over specifically a scientific test I did pitting live bait versus artificial bait, and I posted that report and results at chicagofishingschool.com. It's on the very front page. You'll see down there, you should see live bait versus artificial challenge. And it's going to be the first in a series of tests that we do on different species of fish, just to show you that there are different ways that to catch fish that have been around for 1,000 years that don't involve a bass boat. To be blunt, they don't involve something plastic that was formed and artificial. Most of the fishing that was done, you know, pre-1940 was done and still is done today. I think people get the wrong impression when they see all this coverage of all these little gadgets and gizmos and whatchamacallits that you can chuck into the water. I think that you, as an angler, you get the impression that, oh, I have to go buy some of that because that is what these guys are catching in this magazine. Look at the picture of this giant fish this guy's holding in the magazine because, well, right next to that picture of the fish is this whatchamacallit that he wants to sell you to catch these big supposed fish. So most of the industry is based on that. Well, this Showgram is not based on that. It's based on catching the fish, okay? So I'll recap that. Let's get the Showgram started. Let's get it going. Let's go.
I did study with Dr. Errol von Strassenberger back in...
Who?
Oh, you don't know him? Oh, he's like one of the leading leaders in unusual methods. Actually, he's how I was appointed to the Presidential Council for Experimental Education. Tell you about what we've been doing in here, But there's such a thing as teacher-student confidentiality. And I don't want to be in breach of education law because I could be dismembered by the teachers' union. There and melt some faces.
I don't know about melt some faces, but let's hit some faces with some hooks. This is the Fishing School. Welcome, welcome. Wednesday night edition, summer. It is scorcher hot out there. And from a lot of reports that I'm receiving, I don't think it's impacting the fishing that much. I see some articles, and we've done some reports out of Fishing News, which will have a couple great stories in Fishing News coming up. If you haven't gotten your gear ready, just a reminder, going out across the network, the Redneck Fishing Tournament, the original Redneck Fishing Tournament is on. Registration begins. I'll have more in the news about that. But there you go. I don't know what this is. No offense to anybody. That's the official title of the thing. But it's super hot out there, and the feedback I'm getting, and including what I'm catching this summer, I don't see it impacting the fish that much. Certain species and certain bodies of water where there's not a good ecological balance or the water isn't that healthy to begin with, there's going to be a struggle for some of the species as the water oxygen levels fluctuate, and that body of water just won't sustain fish, so you'll have fish kills, you'll have bacterial blooms, etc., which might eat up a lot of the oxygen which would normally be in the water. So there will be some problems for our fish around the country because of the hot summer. I think there's some biologists that were saying that because of the spring starting out abnormally, the winter was very warm to start there. We lost our ice. Our ice out was, in April, it was in February. We didn't have significant ice, and we didn't have real cold water to start out at the season. With the heat now, is an extra strain on some waters. But you guys, you anglers who are out there fishing, are sending me catches, and you're going on. Maybe it's because you're using some tactics that we talk about on the show, and the use of live bait. So if you did catch last week's show, Graham, we talked about catching shiner minnows with very delicate gear, and you can base your whole fishing tackle box around having gear delicate enough to catch the tiniest fish in that lake. Now, you do have to gauge it up as you want to get the bigger species, obviously. So, for instance, like when I landed the couple of 2-pound crappie, there was a run of these that I ran into up in the North Woods, up north of Eagle River, Wisconsin. I did need, I was using a 3-pound leader, but still very light for what most articles tell you that you should use for these fish, still very light. 3-pound leader with a size 14 hook. And I was landing very big crappies and big fish in general. I didn't have many breakoffs on my gear. But the point was, a lot of people were struggling to catch fish. I wasn't, because the stuff was light and it was easy for the fish to eat. That's what it's about, people. Make it easy for the fish to eat, and they will eat, and then you will hook a fish, and it'll be exciting, and then you'll have something to talk about. So so in fishing news, we're going to talk the Redneck Fishing Derby registration begins, and then we'll also talk about, you know, archaic ways that people tend to care for the lakes or try to retake lakes from different species, including draining, poisoning, and just overall wrecking the entire lake, at least temporarily, but killing all the fish, not a good answer. And we'll see a perfect example of what I talk about in fishing news. So I did talk a little bit about catching perch last week and the shiners. I think I talked about keeping a tight line. In general, if you are using a float, keeping that line tight and keeping the float at a slight angle when you're fishing means that you have attention to the rod and that you have attention to the rig and that there's more sensitive connection between your bait and your rod tip. It's going to give you a lot better feel, a lot faster of a hook set if you don't have that loop of line out there, and it's just the way to fish. So if you if you're used to setting your rod down and walking away or sitting in a chair, you can do that, but you're just not going to catch as many fish. So you're welcome to use the tactics that I talk about, and you'll have more success than you normally would. But most of what I do when I fish, I've got the rod tip in my vision. I've got the line. I'm watching the line and the connection to the float. I do a lot of float fishing, and I've got feedback from that. So if your sight's not good, you can use that tensioning. You can tension it. You can feel when you're picking up on the line. Keep attention on that float, and you're going to get a lot more sensitive of a setup. You're going to catch a lot more fish. You're going to have a lot more hookups, and that's what it's about. So I was talking about the results of the live bait versus gulp. It wasn't really versus gulp challenge, but I wanted to pick on what was supposed to be the best artificial bait on the market, and their field test had the best artificial bait on the market outfishing all of their bait, and their claims right on the jar, right on their site, that in field tests, their bait, their gulp product outfishes even live bait in field tests. So if you go to chicagofishingschool.com, I'm not going to run it all down because I've done that on a previous podcast, but you'll get the gist of it. I don't even want to spoil it. What do you think? What do you think when, if you're new to the show, Graham, or you've listened a lot and you know the, you know what I discuss, what do you think would happen? We're talking artificial bait with the highest amount of technology that the fishing companies can employ, including scent. It might include, amino acids. All their research is put into this mold of this product, which is outfishing in their field tests. It's outfishing live bait. I mean, what do you think? Well, take a look at our tests. I did my very, very best to keep this exact, precise, scientific. I used a third person to time these segments. I didn't even rely on watching the clock. I personally fished the segments, so that was the six tests. There were six sessions. I fished three sessions of live bait and three sessions of the gulp bait, this engineered product which is supposed to get fish to attack, and fish are supposed to love it. So I fished the first set was gulp. The second set of 30 minutes was a live bait. So I was gulp maggots versus live bait maggots, or grubs. They call them spikes. So anyways, it was the artificial equivalent versus the live equivalent. So take a look at the test results there. You can see a catch rate for each of the 30-minute tests for the gulp, and then a catch rate for each of the 30-minute tests for the live bait. And so take a look at those results at chicagofishingschool.com, right on the front page there. And you can download a PDF of that report, And like I said, you can see all the breakdowns on it as best that I could. And I made it precise to the second. The rigs that were used were exactly the same. The technique that I was using, exactly the same. And there's kind of a shocking finding when you get to the end of it under the PS. Also, I'm not sure if it's listed on the final results, but the truth is that the winner, I believe the winner of this study could even do better because of the wind direction during this test, this sequence of tests. We fished it on the same exact water. So there was about 6 feet separating these two, the two components, so that they were fished on the same exact water. Now, the one thing I did do, if there was any loose grubs put in and loose gulp put in, it was put in on the same area so that I kept those about 5 feet apart. But essentially, you're talking the same exact water, fished about 6 feet out, 5 feet apart, the whole sequence, like I said, as scientific as I could. So check that out. Check out those results and share those with people. That is the basis of the showgram. I let the fish do the talking. Of course, they can't get on the podcast, so I have to do a lot of the talking to talk about my results, et cetera, and talk about the techniques. But what I'm saying is the fish and what we catch, that does the talking, and that should modify your fishing behavior. It should modify your tactics and what you do when you're out on the water. Okay? So I had taken out my boat, and I think I gave you guys some essentials for boat, for items on a boat. The anchors and that, getting your boat in a good position is essential to your good fishing. Getting yourself in a position on the bank, it's just as important to have yourself comfortable so that you can be on the bank quietly. We've read passages from The Complete Angler, which is from the 1700s. And back in the 1700s, the anglers are even talking about staying still on the bank and behaving, and those that do not behave will be punished, and the fish will not respond to them behaving badly or being loud on the bank. Same in the boat. That's why you want to have a quiet boat. You want to have it anchored on both sides. On the bank, you want to have something comfortable where you can sit in a comfortable position where you're not going to be moving around a lot. You're not going to be fidgeting. So you need a comfortable base. I use, I actually have a competition base that I use because I do bank angling for Team USA, and I do compete every once in a while. I've taken time out of competitions because my arm and shoulder injury that I've talked about, it's getting much better. I'm happy to report. I'm working it out, and so I should be returning to some competition circuit coming up. But this is where I get my information from. And when I do compete, I use a seat which has four adjustable legs on it. So if the bank is at a 12-degree angle, I can unscrew the back legs and I can raise them up so that when I set the box down, the seat is level. And that allows me to keep low and be comfortably seated while I fish. So essentially, the only thing that's moving when I'm fishing usually are my arms. Otherwise, my shape stays still on the bank. So that's an important tip for you. Stay still out there. Don't move around a lot, especially if you're fishing close with a lot of these techniques where we're using a 10 or 15-foot pole, or you're using a flip cast with your spin gear and you're just doing a short flip cast. Any type of movement on that bank is going to catch the eye of these predators, the fish are the predator. So most of the species are in a predator mode. They have great eyesight. Even with the murky water, they can see the shapes shifting around. So I want you guys to stay still out there. If you ever get a chance to watch a crane or a heron as it hunts and attacks, they move through the water very slowly and in a fluid-like fashion, and you'll see when they're about to strike, they pause. They're motionless. Okay, they blend in with their surroundings. They don't alert the fish to their presence. And you have to do that if you're going to be a successful angler to catch a decent amount of fish. So now, if you're a person who has a family and you have little kids, you know, you can teach these concepts to them as well. They have shorter attention spans, and there are a lot of people who have a shorter attention span, so you're not going to be able to keep them quiet and keep them still on the bank as long. So you might have to use a strategy. You can use this for meeting up with friends, too. A strategy being getting all your gear set up on the shore or getting everything ready to go in the boat so that when the people arrive, especially we're talking specifically about people with short attention spans or kids. So if you have a friend who wants to go fishing but they always complain you take them out too long, well, have all the gear ready so that you're not setting up and tying lines while people you're taking fishing are standing on the bank saying, yeah, here we go. We're spending a lot of time here. So if you tie that at home on your workbench, A, it's a lot easier to get everything tied up and then take care of it and pack it up so it's ready for travel. But so that when you get to arrive at the water, you simply and this reminds me of the coolest thing that I found probably on vacation in a long time. This is one of the coolest things that I think I'm actually going to try and get these in the store. They're so cool. But you can get them anywhere at a grocery store and that. But I think I'm going to stock these suckers because I'm talking about once you get your rod and reel ready and everything's good, the temptation is to leave it all the way put up. If you have a 6-foot rod, 7-foot rod, 8-foot rod, I have 10 and 12-foot rods. I can't leave them put together. So what I do is I take them apart and then reel up some of the slack line and then put the rods together, but then try and get the line tight. Now, if the rod's split in half, then you tighten up the rig and use a rubber band to fashion the rods together and the handle and the rod and then whatever bait you've tied on or hooks and float, you get those fashioned to the rod. So now you essentially have one short piece all together. When you arrive at the lake, pop the rubber bands off, put the rod together, boom, you're fishing fast. So for our short attention span theater people, you do not have to wait on them and wait and wait and wait. Suspense will kill him, right? No. I don't mean like first degree murder. It'll make their nerves whatever. They'll get bored, right? So if you fashion your rod together like that and have it all prepped and rubber banded together, when you arrive, pop those rubber bands off, but keep the rubber bands off to the side in your pocket or in your tackle box, because when you get ready to pack up, guess what? Same process. Break it down, attach everything together, and then when you put it away, you'll be ready to go next time, and you won't have to spend 15, 20 minutes on the water while your friend complains or while your kids are jumping up and down scaring all the fish away. So my point is, get ready for action, Jackson, and everything's set to go when you hit the water. Kids are excited. You get some action. You catch a few fish. Now your friends and your kids, they will be more apt to listen to you and more apt to be into the fish rather than how much longer we got to stay and that sort of thing. So the invention that I found, I have a daughter, so she has all these hair products. Well, she bought this little genius, 100-pack of these little tiny hair rubber bands, and they're the size of a dime. They are absolutely fantastic, perfect size for the rod and reel. I don't have to wrap the rubber bands around 12 times, et cetera. So you get about 100 of them for a couple bucks or whatever, and they're perfect for fashioning your float against your rod. By the way, if you're traveling with the float, it's best to take it off the rig, but if you can't take it off, it's next best is to rubber band stuff in place. I had a listener. Thank you very much. Thank you for sending me stuff. You can always email me, johnny@chicagofishingschool.com, and send me, that's Johnny, J-O-H-N-N-Y, I believe radio@chicagofishingschool.com. In fact, I want to try that out right now. Let's try the radio@chicagofishingschool.com. This is a test. See what happens. Do I get an email? I don't know. dun, dun, dun. Suspense is killing you, right? Okay, let's do this. radio@chicagofishingschool.com, and that is the way that you can get in touch with me. Somebody sent me a great little float protector, and they had taken pipe insulation, and this is foam pipe insulation you can find in a hardware store, and then cut off a couple segments. And then when you rubber band your float to your rod, you have an opening on one end of that pipe insulation, and then just cut it to the size, you know, keep them like 12 inches, and then put it around the float and your rods after it's rubber banded, rubber band around that, bing, 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 you're all protected. So thank you to the listener who sent that tip in. I thought that was way cool. They also had like an old syringe. I don't know if we should get into the biohazards, but I'll stick with the pipe insulation. I thought that was a great, cheap idea. But there's another store called Scientific Surplus, Scientific Supply, American Science and Supply. They got a lot of little gadgets. So this is a place where, let me look it up. I'm using the Google machine, American Science and Surplus. That's at SciPlus.com. SciPlus.com. So SciPlus, Science Plus. SciPlus.com. You'll see a lot of little tiny containers and gadgets. So for those of you guys who like to invent a lot of your own fishing stuff, or you like to have little containers to store your things, they've got a lot of things that come in like a 12-pack and real cool lab supplies and that. Lots of cool stuff in there. So check that out if you want to buy some of those syringes. Not used syringes, but it was like the syringe without the needle. And then they put the float inside that. It was kind of a cheap, inexpensive way to protect the float. And trust me, most brands of floats need to be protected. They're a soft wood, and even on the harder wood floats, the connections, the glue connections in that, are pretty fragile. So the last thing you want to do, like I said, you get out there with your riotous friends, and they're totally impatient, and then you go to fish, and you've broken the float that you had all set up and balanced, and that's just a nightmare. So try that. Try the insulation. Try some of these those little hair rubber bands. I'm telling you, it's one of the best fishing inventions of all time. Better than you can go into Bass Pro Shops. I can go into a Bass Pro Shops. I can walk around the aisles and see all those things. And in my hand, if I had 50 of those hair rubber bands, I'm not sure I would trade them for anything on the walls. You know what I'm saying? It's a great invention. Okay, so I don't know if I'm on a rant, but I think we should let's try a little fishing news. And, again, send me your suggestions and your pictures, questions. If you have a question about your lake, just email me, radio@chicagofishingschool.com, and I'll be happy to get back to you with an answer. And like I said, I love getting the feedback from you because you're out doing these tactics that I talk about on the showgram. And it is a good thing. So let's take the news. It appears that we're still in the bat news. Hi, I'm Johnny Wilkins in the Chum City News Room. This is Fishing News You Can Use. Redneck Fishing Registration opens July 30th. Registration is open for the 2012 Original Redneck Fishing Tournament, an event designed for fans and participants alike to have fun while trying to rid the Illinois River of Asian silver carp. The tournament is scheduled for Friday and Saturday, with two heats each day. Headquarters for the tournament is the Boat Tavern, 218 West 1st Street in Bath, Illinois. Online registration to participate is encouraged. Go to redneckfishingtournament.net. Entry fee is $50 per boat, per heat. No fishing poles allowed. Participants using nets must have a valid Illinois fishing license. Friday heats begin at noon and 3 p.m. Saturday at 11 a.m. and 5 p.m. Sign-in and on-site registration begins 2 hours before each heat. Awards are given for the most Asian carp landed during each two-hour heat, plus most Asian carp caught over the 2 days, as well as for the best costumes. P.S., if you're headed to the Redneck Fishing Tournament, Friday is Camouflage Day, and Saturday is Superhero Day. Admission to watch the tournament and take part in attendant festivities is $5 per day or $8 for a weekend pass. Very reasonable. There will be a beer garden, food tents, memorabilia stations, and raffles. Lord knows what they're raffling off at this event. But remember, Friday, Camouflage Day, Saturday, Superhero Day. Dress accordingly. Hennepin, Illinois, two central Illinois lakes will be closed to fishing this year as the state battles the invasive common carp. The Illinois Department of Natural Resources says the Hennepin and Hopper Lakes in Putnam County will be closed to all public sport fishing. The lakes are located 40 miles north of Peoria along the Illinois River. The DNR has been working with the Wetlands Initiative, a nonprofit organization, to remove carp from the lakes over the last few years. Let's see how they've done. The lakes were drained in 2009, and a fish toxicant was applied to try and kill off the carp. But by last summer, ecologists realized that enough fish survived and have staged what they call a carp comeback. The Wetlands Initiative says it's tweaking the removal strategy to make the effort more successful. What would that entail besides draining the lake and poisoning the entire lake? Okay, so this is what I'd talk about. Oh, wait, before I jump up on the box, this is Johnny Wilkins, and that is Fishing News. All right, plus there's Olympics on, so I'm not going to keep everybody too late again tonight. So go Team USA, Michael Phelps, most winning medalist of all Olympic history. Congrats from the showgram. I'm sure he listens. Okay, so the strategy here is drain everything, poison the things to kill off this one species of fish. Again, this is a horrible strategy. If in 2009 they did this, and it's 2012, let's see, do the math, 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, so that's, let's say, 2.5 years. They thought they had taken all the fish out, killed all these fish, and they drained everything, and the fish are back. There's a reason for that. They're never going to get rid of that species of fish ever. But yet there's still organizations out here that are working in the 1940s or 1930s in the belief that they can get out there and change the lake, okay? Can't do it. Either somebody with a minnow bucket dropped those in there, or I think the telling line in that story was north of Peoria along the Illinois River. If it's along the river, then any duck or goose is going to get these eggs or fry stuck in their feathers, swim the whatever 100, 200 yards from the Illinois River into your lake, and bam-o, you've got fish enough to restock the whole thing. So what you need to do is regulate the people, as we talked about on the showgram. It's people that take out the apex predators that wreck the ecosystem. But yet, we still waste all of our money here managing something that doesn't need to be managed. The fish is prolific. The fish is stocks itself, restocks itself, apparently after you poison it and drain it. It still gets back in the lake. It's the perfect fish. So I guess, like I said, I'm on my box now. I'll get off. But who doesn't like 20-pound fish to tie into that'll take all the line off your reel? Raise your hand. A couple of you, okay? Maybe you're listening to the wrong show. It's all about catching fish. It's all about hooking to something big and holding on for dear life and then sweating it out and having your arms fall off your shoulders and I mean, that's a good time. I'll take that any day. So we are talking live bait, and it's, I guess the Olympics are going strong. Nobody's calling in tonight. That's fine. So, but if you do want to call in live any Wednesday night when you listen to these the podcasts, it's usually 9 p.m. Central. You can call in at 347-994-3267. That's 994-3267. Occasionally we do get a caller, and it's nice because then we, you know, we do a little bit of talking and get some feedback from you. And then if I'm working on a problem with you and you talk about something on a lake right by you, then other people can use it and share that information. So that's good. Some of the stuff that has happened to me with the warm weather fishing is that it used to be pretty reliable that if you got the bottom all measured out, that you were going to get some fish. If you were, you know, registering your rig and measuring it up and getting the rig, you know, the same exact depth as your, you know, the bottom. A lot of fish activity happened around the bottom. So I think the biggest change in my tactics this year is you need to come up off that bottom because the oxygen levels are different, and because with the heat in that, the oxygen levels are lower and they're different. It's a different pattern than you're used to. You can't just go do the same thing you did last year out there this year because you have 100-degree weather. You have the water temperature in that northern parts of Wisconsin. So northern parts of our country even is reaching 82 degrees surface temperature. So what happens is then the lake is turning over and there's different oxygen layers and the fish are comfortable at different levels. So unlike past summers where maybe you had a 60 degree surface temperature, 65 degree surface temperature, the oxygen layering, the strata in the lake would be different. So the fish might be real comfortable and the oxygen might be plentiful near the bottom. So you need to change that up. If you're not having a lot of success and you're anywhere in the country, bring it up off the bottom and watch out for that, I would say two-thirds down, that's a good place to start. And then even all the way up to one-third of the way down in the water. So you want to investigate the top two-thirds of the water in this super hot weather. And that's good. The other thing, too, is I found, even in northern Wisconsin, you have to get next to or into weed pockets. When the fishing gets tough, that's where the oxygen is, that's where the cover is, that's where the shade is. So you're going to need to have better success, get next to some cover and make use of it. The fish are making use of it, so you need to get your bait into that region so that you'll have the bait near them. They're not going to go out chasing it if they don't feel comfortable. And like I said, this season's a little different than most. So I found that with the water hot and stressed, these fish a little more stressed, I found that the spring bite went away very quickly, and the summer bite, you know, which is usually very aggressive, which has fish fighting other fish for the bait, which causes, if you're using a float or a bobber, you'll see the bobber react in a violent fashion on a summer bite. Well, usually what that is it's two fish competing for the same food. One is escaping from the other food while grabbing, or the escaping from the other fish while grabbing the food. That's a competition bite that's very common in summer when they're quick to race around and grab the food before the other fish will grab it. So that summer bite is not as pronounced as it has been in past summers. So it's extra special, or it's extra important that you get enough split shot on your rig on a good float and have everything balanced out so there's not much float above the waterline. So for my visually impaired anglers, you can do this with a bucket. The split shot can be a little harder to work, but if you use a simple rig, you probably have somebody label the split shot to match your floats. A lot of American floats don't have the measurement written on them, so you'd be kind of out of luck. But the companies like Bear Tackle from livebaitfishingtackle.com, you'll see the weight of that float. So if it says 0.5, that's half a gram. You can use a 0.3 split shot, 0.35 split shot, and you're going to bury that float almost all the way down into the water. And using that equation, then you'll have very little tip above the water once you put your bait on that hook. So if you want, you try this at home with a bucket and your bait, and you can see what weight you need to have on there with your bait before your antenna is below the water. So I guess you can poke it around and feel it and feel that you've got it balanced just right. And again, then you take these hair rubber bands, you wrap them up after you tank test your rig at home where it's nice and, you know, good conditions, you know, you're shaded, good oxygen levels because it's not too hot in your house, hopefully. But you have these things tank tested and ready to go when you're fishing. So remember to leave enough buoyancy on your float to hold the bait up, because you don't want to balance it perfectly and then you get out there and you put the bait on and it's too heavy and it sinks. But because the summer bite is not pronounced, you'll pick up a lot more bites if you add more split shot to your rig and with the bait on it, that you only allow a little tiny bit of the antenna above the water, okay? So what I said earlier in the show, too, is that you keep the tension on that antenna. So once you've got your rig deployed with your bait, you keep tension on that rig. You have less of the float above the water, a little bit of a tension, and you lean into that rig just a little bit. Now you're ready for a summer bite. And now if you've got everything set up right, when the fish picks it and you've got a good hook, they will hook themselves a little bit for you and help you out. And so it's all a system, okay? Your float has buoyancy. The split shot erases that buoyancy. You put your bait on a setup that I'm advocating, and you can see these floats. You go to livebaitfishingtackle.com. You can see the floats, or just go to chicagofishingschool.com, and then up under the club section, or learn to fish. You'll see Tackle Store, and there's a link to the Tackle Store. But these floats, with some shot, and then also the weight of your bait, even if you have a waxworm, it weighs something. Like a waxworm is one of the lightest grubs. Spike is the second lightest. Redworm, cricket is also very, very light. Redworm is going to be a little heavier. So, for instance, if you're going to get a quantity of redworms and you're fishing redworms, you need to have a little more float to hold that redworm up above the water. So if you're spike fishing, you're using maggots or you're using waxworms, you're going to need more shot. You're going to need more weight on there to sink the float down a little bit more. So really, you need to rig up one rig for the heavier redworm, and then you need another rig for your spike or your waxworm, which have almost no weight, because you'll want that float antenna to lay lower in the water. Okay? So if you have redworm and you're overweighting your rig and it's sinking, you're not going to be able to see the bites. You're not going to be able to feel them. Or worse yet, the most important thing is that your bait is suspended near the fish's mouth so that the fish doesn't have to work to get the bite. The better you can get the bait closer to the mouth, the easier it is for them to eat, the more fish you're going to catch. So when I talked about fishing in these conditions, the upper two-thirds of the water column, well, having your float balanced right is going to put your bait in that upper two-thirds of water column, and then you can fish right there. With my crappie friends, they were in the top one-third of the water column. So that is a fish that suspends, but there must have either been bait fish there or oxygen or all of the above in that top third of the water column. That's where they were most comfortable at this time of the year, and that's where I caught my biggest fish. So having that float suspend in that top, they were really only about a foot and a half down in 6 feet of water. I was able to suspend the bait using that 0.5 gram, the flip floats. I was able to suspend it and able to pick up some crappies, whereas if I had the bait sinking or the float sinking or the rig was just, I would be fishing right underneath the fish. I would have never caught anything. Here's a tip of the week probably. If you are fishing worms, Don't be afraid to trim. Take a small scissors and trim off the smallest piece of worm that you can, okay? There's nothing that says a full worm is going to outfish a small worm. In fact, I'm going to say that it won't. I'm going to say that a freshly trimmed small piece of worm is going to outfish the whole worm, whether it be red worm or nightcrawler. It's going to outfish it most all the time. And here's a major factor why. When you put that big old worm on a hook, you have so much bait surface area for the fish to grab onto that there are so many different ways that that fish can take bait without moving your float, without moving your line, and it can actually eat a whole bunch without even triggering anything, and they're still not at the hook. So another thing it can do is it can give you false bites. If you have a bunch of worm hanging off and the fish take it and run, you'll set the hook and they'll just have a meal. Which, hey, I'm all for feeding the fish. I think many of us would have much better fishing if we had the habit of anglers feeding grubs into the water and getting fish activity. This is basically what we do in our tournaments. And I'm going to take a short break here. I will be right back, and we'll finish up our discussion on worms. Tip of the week, which is a big one for you. This is a good one, so I'll be right back.
Attention. No fishing. Touching no fish. No bites.
Built for tough fishing all around North America, where fishing can be very difficult. Catches can be small, slim, or none. New fishing tackle from Chicago Tackle Company, Bear Tackle Floats, built only for catching fish. See our new line of sensitive live bait tackle coming soon across North America online. Get ready to see the bites you have been missing. Get ready to catch.
Attention.
You can see the new line of Bear Tackle Floats at livebaitfishingtackle.com. Check them out. If you haven't seen them, you haven't tried them, you're really missing out on fish. It's that simple. So there we go. Okay. And I'm working on getting you guys some better components for setting this stuff up, as on the water, off the water, et cetera. I'm working on trying to get you some better tools to fish easier, smarter, and, you know, almost rip a package open fish. It's hard. There's nothing like that. In fact, a lot of my collections that I have are of gimmicky live bait fishing bobbers that have been created over time. That's some of what I collect. I love the more gimmicky and gitchy, the better. Springs and ball bearings and all sorts of good stuff. But most of them are very clunky and they don't catch fish. So here's tip of the week. If you are fishing a red worm or a bait and you're over the limit on your float and your float is sinking, there's two things you can do. These are two awesome, awesome tips. One, of course, is hopefully you brought the pair of scissors. Otherwise, if you didn't, you're going to need to pinch it. But if you have a red worm, go with a half a red worm or a quarter red worm. It might save the day. It might keep your float above water rather than sinking. Here's the other awesome, awesome tip. If you do have a float and you find it sinking, what you want to do is carry a small container of Vaseline, okay? And what the top competitors in the world do is they take a little bit of that Vaseline and they get the antenna covered in it. That's an oil, and that's going to be thicker than water, and it's going to have a little bit of buoyancy to it. You can actually increase the flotation of your float when you need to, when it's sinking is what I'm talking about. The other thing to watch out for is if you've damaged or punctured a float, especially like in those old brown balsa floats and that. They're a light balsa wood, and they have a lacquer on them. Well, sometimes the lacquer gets chipped off, and the balsa will wick up water, and the float will become heavier, and it'll sink. It'll seem like you put too much split shot on. Well, the fact is you didn't. It's just that the water's leaking in, and the float is getting physically heavier. That's why it's sinking. So I am missing out on some Olympics. Remember, head on over to ChicagoFishingSchool.com and get the scientific results of that live bait versus artificial. You hear me talk about it, you know, ad nauseum on the show about how great live bait is, and so you got to see it to believe it and understand the results. If you have any questions about that, or if you have any suggestions, I'm going to rerun tests coming up, and we're going to test these things more. I'm going to try a couple different products now. But if you have suggestions on what you think we could do or products you think we can test, do email me, radio@chicagofishingschool.com. Send me your feedback, and I'd love to get letters from you. Like I said, I'm expanding everything I can to help you anglers catch some more fish. So I'm really passionate about it, and that's what I try to do. If you checked out livebaitfishandtackle.com, you can see a lot of good fish catching gear. There's a grand opening special, and they're running through the 15th. Free shipping on any orders of $35. So go in with a friend, split the shipping. It's free. but put together some floats for you. Some good floats to get would be, I think the top float in the whole deal is going to be the you want the Ultrasense 0.5 flip float or the Ultrasense 0.8 flip float. You can get a couple of those. They just dominate. So far this year, I'm up over 1,400 fish. I am going fishing this weekend, so I hope to knock that total up into the 1,700 range. Last time I remember, I caught 533 fish using the 0.5 flip float. So it's just the best. And I'd recommend a hook remover disgorger, too. I get people out there are loving them, and I owe you guys a video on how to use that hook remover because I know it really works. I mean, if I caught 500 fish, there were 80 of them where I had to get the hook out, or 120 of them where I had to get the hook out of their gullet. So it's an essential item to have in the tackle box. So look for more of this good stuff. I've got some other pieces of equipment that I'm developing and bringing to market. But send me your questions. Send me videos. Send me pictures, diagrams, whatever you guys need to, and I'll help you catch fish on the lakes and waters nearest your home. And then when you go on vacation, I think I caught around 130, 140 fish on vacation. I didn't go that many days. Most of the days it was family camp, so I was hanging out with the kids, etc., and doing things like, you know, cook it over the fire, like burning your sandwich to a black charcoal-y finish, then scraping it clean and then eating lunch, you know, that sort of thing. We did some disc golf in the woods at night with glow-in-the-dark discs. It's really crazy up there, not all fishing activities, so, but you can't beat it when you catch the fish, and do listen into the show, Graham. Next week's topic, I'm going to be talking about the big members of the perch family. So I'm going to talk about some walleyes and some good rigs for catching walleyes and having some success with that. So you guys get out there, practice what you preach. Definitely hit the dime store. Of course, there is no dime store. I guess Five Below. $5 and below, they don't call it the dime store anymore. It's the $5 store or the dollar store. But get out there and get some hair rubber bands and make your life a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful thing. In fact, I'm going to go get a bunch of my hair rubber bands right now and watch some late night Olympics. So I am going to let you go so that I can catch you again on the fishing school. I'm Johnny Wilkins. Until next time, good fishing. I'll catch you later. Thanks.